stand here, Card, now.
Ahoy.
Lacey Dunleavy is the manager of the Carbondale Library. On a recent tour, she pointed out what she needs to replace, including the self-checkout machine.
And library card.
Okay. I mean, it just proves.
Replacing the machine suggests heavy traffic, like patrons checking out lots of books, movies, and music. And that traffic has also created wear and tear on furniture, rugs, computers. The front door sometimes gets stuck and has to be put back on track manually. From January to July this year, over 42,300 patrons used the Carbondale Library, up 15% from 2018. But district funds are stretched thin. In 2016, 30% of funding vanished due to low sales tax collection, a 45% drop in natural gas activity in Garfield County, and the 2011 Noble Energy settlement refunds. Hours and acquisitions were cut, and 8 staff across the district were laid off, forcing emergency closures, and the district cut hours again in September 2017. Dunleavy says the library never recovered from the 2016 cuts.
And it's because that money has never found its way back. To be clear, we have a balanced budget, but that budget is a significantly lower number than what it was.
The library district's 2019 budget is a little over $5 million, about half coming from sales tax revenue. That's $5 million to cover staff, building maintenance, utilities, collections, and more for 6 libraries. Dunleavy says keeping staff is a big problem.
I think all of us understand how hard it can be to live in the Valley. So, you know, we need to be able to offer these people advancement and different opportunities within this job. And right now, we can't exactly do that. We can attract great people, but getting them to stay here is very tough.
The reason why we have to cut hours, we can't be open as much as we want, is because we don't have enough staff.
Lauren Arnold is the Glenwood Springs branch manager. She says staffing is key to pretty much everything at the library.
Right now we're doing so much. So you see the folks at the desk. What you don't see are the folks who are shelving the books to put them back. You don't see the folks who are going to take the returns that you put through our awesome sorter and put them on the shelf or send them off to other libraries. You don't see the amount of work that goes into programming, managing the collection. Yeah, that all takes time and it all takes qualified staff.
Last year, voters approved a measure that allowed the district to keep tax revenue that would have been refunded under Tabor. For the 2019 budget, that meant a $139,000 boost, which went to purchasing materials. But it's difficult to know how much the library will keep next year or the year after that.
Because our funding is forecasted to decrease over time, if we don't improve our funding soon, you'll see more cuts to hours, to staff, to books.
On November 5th, voters will decide on a permanent funding increase for the district, an additional 1.5 mils of property tax. Let's say your property is worth $500,000. You'd pay around $55 per year to fund the library. Commercial properties would pay a little over $43 per year for every $100,000 of property value. Right now, the library has an annual mill levy of 1.07, which brought in a little over $2 million this year. The new increase would almost double that for 2020.
What's your name?
Laura.
And where do you live?
Glenwood Springs. I know that there is a need for the library for a certain part of the population. However, I just don't know if raising the mills for extended hours is really what we need. Without fully researching and vetting what they're wanting, what they're going to be using those funds for.
Dave Reed.
Dave, where do you live?
Carbondale. I'm supportive because it seems to me that the library district, like a lot of our jurisdictions, is reliant on, to some extent, on oil and gas revenues. And that's a source of revenue that we're going to have to wean ourselves off of over the next 10 or 20 years. And, you know, we'll have to have other sources of revenue to cover that, and it'll have to come from all of us, so that's the fairest way.
Linda Evans.
And Linda, where do you live?
Marble, Colorado. I'm in Gunnison County, and they're doing the same thing on a ballot. If it's just putting a bunch of computers in or whatever, then we need books too, I think.
Lauren Arnold says she understands why people are reluctant to fund new computers.
But computers are necessary in all levels of life right now. They're necessary in terms of trying to get a job. Basically, all applications are online right now. Books are great, and there's still lots of great information, and I'm always going to try and find a good book for you. But a lot of times that information can be found on trustworthy websites or through some of our great databases.
6 computers are available for public use in the Carbondale Library. Lacey Dunleavy says there were more before the 2016 funding cuts.
When was the last time you guys purchased new computers?
I have no idea.
But she says it's not just about buying new machines.
It's being able to do the support. It's having enough bandwidth to make sure that everyone can use the internet. It's replacing keyboards. It's replacing the chair that you sit on. You know, it's all these things that with heavy use and heavy traffic, it's inevitable.
She says the library needs to be able to accommodate whatever anyone wants to do.
So right now, you know, if depending on what you're working on, there are some programs that we don't have, file formats that you can't support. It can be difficult to open certain files and projects.
The staff finds ways to work around these challenges, but Dunleavy says the library is walking a thin line. If a computer goes down, it might not be replaced.
If that machine was not able to be fixed, there could be a delay in replacing it in general if it would ever come back.
Both library managers agree that funding a library district is an investment in the community.
You know, I'm a homeowner, and I saw a jump in my property taxes after voting in favor of the education measure. I do not have any children. I think that all of these institutions together, like schools and libraries specifically, even if you don't have children, even if you don't check out a book, the intrinsic value to our community, it's important.
Lauren Arnold says she can't imagine how great the library services will be if the ballot initiative passes. For KDNK News, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.